The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
What a joy, what an opportunity granted to us from on high to fellowship together. God has made it possible for us to recongregate and fellowship one with another. The power of God works more when brethren learn to fellowship one with another. God doesn't move in rigid containers. He wants containers that are relating one to another. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran through the beard of Aaron into the skirts of his garment. And the Bible says that it was there that the Lord commanded his blessings to be. Last week we started a series concerning overcoming the world. And the main text we used was, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, even our faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We came to a point where we ended on the note that the kind of faith that we bear is very important. We ended on the note that the kind of faith that we bear is very important. And this was buttressed by Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which says, the just shall live by his faith. We said that this scripture was used in a historical context where Judah was to be invaded by some Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were from Babylonia, and God was going to use them to punish Israel because Israel had deviated from the covenants of promise. Instead of serving Yahweh, they had gone into idolatrous worship. And instead of treating one another humanely, they had gone very violent. And the rich were oppressing the poor, and the mighty were oppressing the people who seemed not to matter. The Bible says when they were spoken to, they were rather proud and arrogant. And then God said that what is going to happen will be terrible, because when the Chaldeans come, when those Babylonians come, they will run over the nation, and there will be a lot of difficulty. There will be a lot of trauma. There will be a lot of setbacks. Then God inserted this word, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, God could have said the just shall live by faith. But in this particular context, he said the just shall live by his faith. In other words, those that will survive the ordeal, those that will be able to endure and eventually come out victorious, are those who would have built their faith. So today I'm teaching on the topic, what is faith? What is faith? I'm teaching on the topic, what is faith? There are things that faith is not. Faith is not panic. Faith is not anxiety. Faith is not worry. There are people, as soon as they hear a piece of news, the first thing that happens to them is that they start shivering. They start shaking. They start palpitating. People of faith don't shiver that way. Even if they do, they quickly overcome the situation, and then they walk in the attitude that God wants them to be. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The fact that somebody has been rushed to the hospital does not mean you should panic. You should rather meditate on the power and the word of God and find how to release it in spite of the distance to help the person. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The fact that somebody came to tell you that your intended is being taken away from you or your husband is being taken away from you by another woman does not mean that your blood pressure should suddenly shoot up. Faith will process the thing properly in the mind and say, God is in control. Can you put your hands together, somebody? There are some people, as soon as they start running out of finances, then they may fall sick because they even will say it with their mouth. The way things are going, if I don't take it, I'll fall sick. Oh, because they start worrying, and worrying start hiking up some negative things in their lives, and then eventually leads to what is as if they were anticipating. But not having money should not make you angry. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Not having money should not make you touchy. Not having money should not make you quick-tempered. Not having money should rather make you calm and should fill your mouth with praise, that through the thick and the thin, you will still praise God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You will still celebrate God. The fact that there is a deadline and you cannot meet the demands of the deadline, whether it's a deadline for school fees to be paid up, or whether it's a deadline for an air ticket to be bought, or whether it's a deadline for an accommodation, rent to be settled, whatever the deadline, you must be yourself. Can I hear an amen? I didn't hear an amen. If I have to preach 52 weeks in a year and I'm human being and all the things that affect you, I may have opportunity to be affected the same way, then I must have some control to be able to prepare my next message to come and preach to you and to preach to you in the right spirit. I cannot preach peace with confusion in my heart. I cannot preach love with hatred in my heart. And I cannot preach fear when my heart is filled. Sorry, I cannot preach faith when my heart is filled with fear. So at any time, you are in charge of your life. Can I hear an amen? And you are in control. I've seen that when people come on retirement, their health sometimes deteriorates. Because when they were working, they had an office vehicle that was fueled. Their mobile phones were loaded with credits at all times. Sometimes the accommodation they were in was paid for either by the government or by the institution. And many other things. So the day they step out and they have to live by their faith, then they start panicking. That's when they gather all the children and say, things have changed though. I want you to build a house for me in my hometown. House in your hometown for what? You are so selfish that you are thinking about only your death, where you'll be laid in state. What about that house being built in the city where your children are working and your grandchildren can have opportunity to live there? Somebody put your hands together. If there's a phase in your life that you don't understand, go to God and pray. And stay in prayer till His peace drops in your heart. If something disturbs the peace, study the word, go back to God and let His grace fall upon your life. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Oh, come on, put your hands together. It's not a curse to be aged, and it's not a curse to be an old man or an old woman. It's not even an insult. It's not a curse to be young, and it's not a curse to be unmarried, and it's not a curse to be married and have challenges in your marriage. You have to appreciate the fact that faith is to be lived as a lifestyle. Oh, can I hear an amen? You don't live in faith on Sunday and then by Thursday your faith goes down. But faith is a lifestyle. And I'll start with the definition, general definitions of faith before I come to scriptures. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. That will be our anchor scripture. But I'll try to give you various definitions of faith. And if you do understand what is faith, then you can contrast that with what is not faith. Faith is not itron, it's not patapa, it's not JJT, it's not queer. Say, God bless you for that wonderful shout. It's not nyahamibe. No, faith is cool. David can stand at one end, speak one word, and it will affect Ahithophel and Absalom. He says, take even the Ark of Covenant away. Go and give it to the city because it's supposed to be in Jerusalem. Don't let it follow me to the bush. There is a presence on my life. When I speak, my God will hear it. Come on, put your hands together. So faith is not patapa. And sometimes people show it. And when somebody is cool and calm, then they feel that the person, no, he's reflecting, processing. And when he speaks one word, God will honor it. Come on, put your hands together, somebody. So now Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Number one, in the original, faith is the word pistis. One meaning of the word pistis, I mean from the Greek P-I-S-T-I-S, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. There is another word for faith in the Hebrew. It is emuna. And I'm going to explain emuna. E-M-U-N-H. Emuna simply means a lifestyle of total reliance on God. You're going to bed, you trust God to protect your household from fire, from assailants, from thieves. You wake up, you pray for provision. It's a lifestyle of faith. You board transportation to work, you pray for God's protection. You are living a lifestyle of faith. You step out into school or your workplace or the marketplace, it's a lifestyle of faith. You step out into church or you are going even window shopping, it's a lifestyle of faith. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And this lifestyle totally depends on God. In fact, you totally depend on God's word. You remind yourself continually what God has said. You refresh yourself in the word what God has said. And although the economy may be going bad and a plague may be hitting the city or the town or village in which you are, yet your confidence is in God and you will not be shaken. So your whole lifestyle is, you don't have, how does God provide for you? You must provide snacks for your children and provide clothing for them and find some housing for them. The way you go about it will reflect whether you are walking in faith or you are not walking in faith. For somebody, he or she may shelve the faith and go after a boyfriend and say, if I will but get a boyfriend, the woman with the issue of blood says, if I will but touch the hem of his garment. But this person says, if I will but get a boyfriend, he will sponsor all my needs. That's not a life of faith. That is putting your confidence in man. And the Bible says that cursed are those who put their confidence in another man. Oh, say amen if you believe the word of God. So in the context of the Hebrew word for faith, emunah, is talking about a lifestyle of total reliance, a lifestyle of total dependence on God. Another meaning of emunah is a type of faith that results in faithfulness. Remember, faithfulness occurs when you start doing little things. Faithfulness occurs when you consistently start with doing little things until God promotes you and brings you to big things and you continue doing that. Is somebody hearing me? The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is also faithful in what? Much. So when the little opportunity comes, you take advantage of it and you work with it. And God blesses you and continue working even when God makes you great. Is somebody hearing me? Joseph will work in the backside and he will work with little things. But later on, when God promotes him to be a prime minister, he will apply the same principles that brought him to that place. So emunah tells you about a lifestyle of walking in faith that results in faithfulness. For some of us, we never do things that will be continuous, that will be persistent, and that will continue to the end. But we do it in piecemeal. We finish and we don't get results immediately, and then we check out. So whether it is giving, whether it's attendance to church service, whether it's a lifestyle of prayer, we are looking for answers so quickly that we are not able to endure. But the Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So it is in that context that your faith may not get an immediate answer, but you continue. It is in that context that your faith may be disappointed, but you continue in the things of God. You don't throw up your arms in despair, but you stand on the grounds of the word of God and you continue. Tell the next person, continue in love. Turn to another, continue in faith. And turn to another, continue in service. Turn to the last person and say, continue in your giving. Yes, the Christian life is continuation. It is not starting and stopping. It is not when God lifts you, then you stop doing the good things you were doing before you were lifted. So one definition of faith is faithfulness. And faithfulness from the original refers to a lifestyle of total dependence on the word of God. God has said it, I believe it, and so shall it be. And it's also a type of faith that results in faithfulness. I will always be preaching. Once God gives me grace. Oh, you are not clapping. I will always be preaching. What else will I do? I will preach till results show. I will preach till the audience get blessed. I will preach till the audience defeat their enemies. I will shout amen to God's glory. The second meaning of faith is conviction. Conviction. What is conviction? Conviction, number one, is a firm belief. You see, you can believe something, but you are not firm in it, so you can be soon shaken. The Bible says, don't be soon shaken. You may believe something in the morning, by noon you may hear a report that is quite contradictory to what you're expecting, you continue trusting God. Let me hear an amen. Amen. Sometimes the people that don't let go some things are people who have lost dear ones. And some can hold on to it. I was trying to help someone the other day and said, my father suffered too much before he died. One leg was amputated, then the second leg, and he was in pain, and he was in pain, and he was crying. And God called. I said, if the person is suffering like that, and is in pain, and God calls him out of this pain, which one is better? But you know, we humans are very selfish. We still want the one to suffer. I know you're expecting the person to recover, but God is the ultimate determinant of what happens in the end. So when he closes the page, like David, get up from the ashes and sackcloth and lift up your hands and give glory to him. Can I hear you give proper glory to God? You don't believe the word for 1 month and go and believe tradition for 3 months. You don't believe the word for 1 week and go and believe in superstition for another 6 weeks. You must have firm belief. Your conviction must be steeped in the word of God. The second meaning of conviction is persuasion. And when we use the word persuasion, then Romans chapter 4 verse 21 should come to mind. The scripture talks about Abraham, how he finally achieved his dream. In Romans 4:21, the Bible says, and being fully persuaded that he who had promised was also able, or is also able to perform. Being fully persuaded, we can say that he was totally convinced. He had a firm belief in what? He had a firm belief in God. And what was the basis of his confidence? The basis of his belief in God. He said the same person who has promised is so faithful that he will perform it. Oh, come on, put your hands together. If you check the Greek about persuaded, it's talking about completely assured. In other words, you get to the place when you're walking in faith that you believe that it is completely accomplished. Let me explain the completely accomplished one. When faith accepts the word at the beginning, faith accepts the word that it is already accomplished. Oh, come on, let me say. When faith accepts the word at the instance of, for instance, praying, faith accepts the same word as already fulfilled. So faith waits for what she has believed. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Because faith believes that the one who has started is also able to perform. Oh, put your hands together, somebody. That word able in Romans 4:21 means capable. In other words, God has the capability to perform it. It also means that God is powerful. And one translation uses the Greek word dunamis for that able, that ability. So Abraham believes that God had the dunamis. He had that explosive supernatural dynamite. God has the anointing to make it come to pass when the situation looks so impossible. So So when faith accepts something, faith accepts that it is done. Oh, come on, put your hands together. My future, my present may not seem good, but my future is secure. And I accept my future now. So I start walking toward my future. And it shall not be long when my bright future shall appear, because I have accepted that it is done. I'm not hoping that it will be done. I have accepted that it is done. The unmarried must accept that they are married. They are not deceiving themselves, but they have embraced it. The Bible says, when they were spoken to, they saw it afar off and they embraced it. What they were told, they were embraced it. Then the next line says, and they were fully persuaded. They were fully convinced. They came to the place where they believed in the ability of God, the capability of God, and the power of God. And the Bible says, he believed in what he had promised, he's also able to perform. That word perform in the original means to do. And I like the next two meanings. The next one means to manufacture, and the next one means to construct. So what God has promised, if it is a house, he's able to construct it. So receive your constructed house. You must walk with your spiritual hand, having embraced a constructed house. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God is able to manufacture it. If the things are not available, God assembles them. He will look for the parts. When you repose your confidence in him, he will manufacture them in heaven and send them to the earth. He will manufacture the head of a baby, the shoulders of a baby, the arms of a baby, the thorax of a baby, the intestines and all the other organs. He will manufacture the lower abdomen and the lower limbs, and he will manufacture brain and understanding and everything. So what God has promised is also able to perform. He's able to construct. Satan can deceive you, make you feel you have no future, make you feel you have blown it so there's no restoration, make you feel that things are not going well, and looking at the way that the politicians are handling so and so, and the economy has moved here, and the global economic recession is affecting them because we are part of the economy of the world, and looking at the inflationary trends and exchange rates, things may be tough, but the just shall live by faith. They will continue building, the just. They will continue driving their cars, the just. They will continue marrying, the just. And they will continue to be promoted in the job that they do. Their children will get the best of education. You must embrace it in your heart. What he had promised, the word promise means to engage to do something. God gave a promise to Abraham. That means he engaged with Abraham to do something. And to show Abraham that he was a God that works within covenants, what he did was that he established what he had engaged Abraham with in a covenant, to tell Abraham that I swear by my own life. I didn't hear an amen. I swear by my integrity. That's God speaking. I swear by all my authority that I will do it. Because of that, God says, you and I must not swear. because he has sworn already. So you and I must let our yes be yes and our no be no. You don't say, I swear I'm speaking the truth, I swear I'll prosper. No, you haven't got the right. Only God can swear, because he is the one that can follow through on his word to execute it. So in Genesis 18:14, again, somebody says we are human. And Abraham was human, and God recorded his weaknesses in relation to his walk with him. He got to a place that the question was asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the age you are, is anything too hard for the Lord? That concerning the things God must do for you, is anything too hard for the Lord? What is the answer? Oh, somebody say yes. Hey, I need to start teaching again. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Well, only a third answer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, you see, you are either letting your faith remain so, or you are lifting your faith. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Yes. It's, nothing is hard for the Lord. You don't kill yourself because of you couldn't pay what you owed. What kind of life is that? Let them throw you out. Somebody will find you and pick you up. Oh, put your hands together. Sometimes God waits for you to be thrown out. You know, there are some folks who are very carnal. While they are married to you, they are very carnal. They are planning how to cheat you out of the marriage and take all the property so that you get nothing. Very carnal Christians. Have you not read in the Bible the people who were disinherited? Have you not read about Jephthah? Some of the people who their whole inheritance was taken away, and they went to build themselves, and they came back to be kings. Well, come on, put your hands together. So, church, Romans 4:21 has a lot to tell us. Now let's look at Romans 8:38. Romans 8:38. You remember Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together. What does it say? Continue. To them that are the called of God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. But let's look at verse 38 this time. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God. Paul was to go to Jerusalem. The prophet Agabus was an accredited prophet of God. There was no record of him that he had prophesied anything and it didn't come to pass. And he prophesied under divine inspiration. He took a girdle, bound himself, and demonstrated to Paul that if you went to Jerusalem, this is what will happen to you. But Paul said that I will go. Is it Rome or Jerusalem? But Paul said, for the sake of the gospel, I will go. And Paul said, I know the outcomes, but I'm so persuaded that God will support me. Paul went there, he prevailed, and moved on. He moved on. Can I hear an amen? Somebody put your hands together. There are some stages in your life that sometimes you are afraid of. You wish they would never happen. But sometimes in the scheme of God, you must necessarily pass through some area. You must necessarily pass through that terrain because there are some wisdom nuggets that God wanted to pick along the line. And sometimes you fear that, oh, there'll be reproach, that I'll be a laughing stock, and that we had an amazing relationship, and he says he's leaving me. What shall I do? My relatives will laugh at me. Just stand for God. Stand on the basis of his word. Believe him to the end. And to false prophets and quack ministers of the gospel, because you are so worried about the fact that somebody said he saw a curse. Open to the book of Nehemiah, read that he turned curses into blessing, and stay in the presence of God like Jabez, and let your name be changed. For you, the fact that somebody saw a revelation and is what is disturbing you. So while I'm preaching, you're not even listening. You are waiting so that after service, you come and narrate all that rubbish to me. If you listen to the word, by the time I finish, you will blow in some tongues. I am delivered. I'm not saying don't share your revelation. No, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I like to speak at the extreme to move you. But at the same time, we are compassionate. We are understanding. We'll be supportive of you. If the thing is disturbing you at where you are, and then the word of God will start working in your life. Come on, put your hands together. As a child of God, you must be persuaded that this is the best community to be in. You must be persuaded. I have family. I have amazing brothers. They are born again, tongue talking, and all that. I have amazing cousins. They are born again. Lots of them are born again, and I love them. But this is the best family to be in. It is the household of faith. You must have that conviction. You must have that conviction. You must also have that conviction that whoever prosper. Could you, all these things that have been preached is for the people who live in the posh residential areas. But God picked ordinary men from very remote backgrounds who were not known, and their faith in God expressed was on it, and God made a difference in their lives. At the time that Gideon thought he was nobody and came from the least tribe and was the least person and couldn't even believe himself, God was calling him a mighty man of valor. Daughter of Zion, woman of valor, arise, because you go and take the victory. Son of God, arise, because the victory is ahead of you. You are going to conquer much more than you have done. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying today? Be convinced that before you were created, God had a purpose for you. So be convinced the Christian faith is the best family to be in. Be convinced God has a destiny for you. Them that he did foreknow, he did predestine it. And them that he did predestine, he called. Them that he called, he justified. And them that he justified, he glorified. Can I hear a glorified shout from glorified people who are on a destiny of divine glorification? That's it. That's it. Your faith is going to have challenges. God will give challenges to your faith so your faith works. So faith will work in smooth times, peaceful times, nice times. Then your faith will also have to work when the Philistines arise. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Your faith will have to work when Lazarus is dead. Your faith has to work. Your faith has to work when you have been bleeding for 12 years and customs exclude you from interacting with the community. And you hear Jesus passing and you say, if I will but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Your faith must work even in challenging times. So you don't plan to be attacked by COVID. But in case any other thing should attack you, your faith must still be working. That's why you must build it and use it as a lifestyle before the troublous times come, if there's an expression like that. Before the challenging periods come. And there are some folks, as soon as they are blessed and they are enjoying and they have a good job, amazing salary, wonderful fringe benefits, they have an amazing team they are working with, lovely boss, and everything is fine. 10 years, 15 years. Then in the 16th year, something happens and something changes. And things are not like before. That's when your faith must be strong. And that's when you work through and come to an end, which God will bring you a desirable end. There's a period that your hand must just be in the hand of God. And when he steps one, you step one. When he steps two, you step two. And you walk alongside him on stepping stones in the water till you get to the other side. Somebody clap to God's glory. In Daniel chapter 3, it was this king who had made a molten image, golden molten image, very tall and high. He has said that this is the image that the whole nation must worship. And they will play various musical equipment. The harp, the flute, the dulcimer, and all the other musical equipment they will play it. And when they do play it in honor of this image, everybody must bow. But there were some three Hebrew boys. They look at the whole thing and realize if they bow to this, they will burn in hell. So they decided that we will not bow. We will face the consequence of the burning fiery furnace. So we live in heaven. Oh, come on, put your hands together. So they sent a word, let it be known to the king. That at the time that they play the sackbut, the dulcimer, the harp, the cornet, and all the other musical instruments, we will not bow. And they said, even if God will not deliver us, it was not a negative statement. They said, our conviction is so high, our persuasion is so high, that even if God for once will not deliver us, we will not bow. The fire may be hot, but we will endure the fire. Oh, come on, somebody put your hands together. It says, King, be it known unto you that we will not bow. Daniel 3:17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he would deliver us out of the hand of this, out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up. Some of you are so afraid of small, small gods in your hometown. in your family houses that when somebody stands and say, come and contribute for the maintenance of the ghost, you go and contribute and actually say, okay, me, I'll send the money. Whatever they say, I will not send the money. I will not send the money. I will go before God and seek his face for his covering and his blessing. And we will see who will live longer. Oh, come on, put your hands together. But some of you are so afraid. Hey, Reverend, my people, they will kill you one time. That's what you believe. The three Hebrew boys had the opportunity to believe the same, because the king's fire was hotter than your hometown's fire. The man heated, got the thing heated 7 times its normal strength. Fire one multiplied by 7. Those who work in fire service will tell you the different intensities of fire. There are some fires you stand afar because the blaze is so much, it roars. If you make the least mistake and the wind direction does not favor you, you are in trouble. There are some fires in California and there are some fires elsewhere. Recently, I was watching TV. They said that in a minute, that fire is able to burn the area of the size of a football pitch. So if you have to escape and the fire is like 20 miles away, start running now. But these guys were daring because of a certain conviction they have. Listen, where God plants you is where you will flourish. God has planted me in the family of the Jangmes, and I will not go and prosper in the family of another. So I am a pure Jangma, ready to eat the word of God, believe the word of God, and prosper where I am. Oh, I didn't hear an amen from somebody. The Bible says in Isaiah that you are plantings of the Lord. If God plants you and you uproot yourself and you go elsewhere, you just keep uprooting yourself, you don't grow. You don't mature. You don't bear fruit. Your life is not stable. Because you are supposed to be a planting of God, and God finds an arena to plant you and prosper you. When Isaac was planting himself in Sitna and Esek and it wasn't working and they were fighting him, there was a Rehoboth for them. For some of you and I, this is our Rehoboth. You're not saying amen. This is your Rehoboth, because the word preached here is what will make you prosper. The prayer said here, the declaration said here will make you prosper. If you believe that, let your amen show your conviction. Some of you are going to get married here. You're going to raise your children, and your children will prosper. We are teaching the word by his grace. And we make sure that we teach the word. We don't come and play. If you take the word seriously, your life will change. You will drive back into the previous community you were in, and they will celebrate you. Because they say, sorry. Yeah. So these guys refused to bow. And the Bible said they were to be thrown in the burning fiery furnace. They were bound with their coat and their socks. Their shirt, their coat. I'm sure if they were in tie, they were bound with it. They were wearing hats. They were bound with it so that they will burn proper. I would have imagined if you take off the clothing, the thing would touch their flesh fast so that they would change their minds. I'm sure if the king had blankets, he would have wrapped them around these guys before they were thrown in. You know, for somebody to throw you in and he's doing olijo, olijo. How many know? Some of you are too dadaba, you don't know olijo, olijo. They swing you like a swing. So the one to throw you in must be closer to the fire and take you to the opposite end before it swings you into the. By the time they took the olijo, oh, come on, God would deliver you from the satanic olijo, olijo. By the time they 1, 2, on the count of 3, bam, the blaze of the fire caught them. And they started screaming and they left the 3 Hebrew boys. The king was shocked. He said, these people are inexperienced. Let's do a more experienced job and get these guys in. God was waiting for them. God likes his name to be glorified. He wants somebody to stand in his name. He wants somebody to stand to glorify and to tell people that you don't have to be a slave queen to prosper. You see, when you go on the internet, people prosper by all kinds of ways. And if you don't take care, if you don't have conviction, you will abandon what God is leading you to. But stand your grounds. The Bible says the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And eventually, they threw them successfully this time. I don't know what mechanism they used this time. Then they landed in the fire. Oh, may the name of the Lord be praised. By the time they landed in the fire, fiery furnace, 7 times when temperatures go 33 in Accra. Around this time, we are all shouting. If you go to the north, you will see 40 degrees. I remember I was in a hotel in the northern part of Ghana, and I stepped out at 1 a.m. And it was so hot that when I entered back, it was still hot. The air conditioner was just working for nothing. And look at a burning fiery fan. When small hot water burns you, look at how you feel it. When you touch a hot vessel on the fire, look at how it burns you. Then your whole being thrown into that. There was a divine visitation. You see, expect a divine visitation. Your faith must expect a divine visitation at all times. And after a while, the king said, open the oven. And he went and looked by himself. He said, did we not throw 3 people in? I see a 4th man. The 4th man is like the sun of God. Oh, come on. May the witches and the wizards and the occultic powers in your background say, did we not throw in 1 man? How come we have another standing by him and going through the fire of adversity with him? You will not burn. You will not burn. You will not be consumed. The blaze cannot touch your life. God has exempted you by reason of your faith in the finished work of Christ. Let your shout be loudest. I haven't heard you yet. Can I hear a good amen shout? So we have done how many meanings of faith? Number 1, faith means faithfulness. Number 2, faith means conviction. Number 3, conviction, we went to persuasion as well. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? Number 4, Is it number three or four? It's three. The conviction and persuasion. You see, persuasion became an offshoot of the conviction, which is three. So number four, faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. Confidence in the original means boldness, courage. Courage means taking steps of faith even in the presence of fear, of certainty. And number three, confidence means firm trust. The word confidence in the Hebrew is bitachon, B-I-T-A-C-H-O-N, bitachon. Bitachon means sure. Sure. It also means to promise. A promise that does not fail. The only promise we know is that of God. So the Bible is talking about confidence. The Bible says, because we have trusted the Lord, we have great plainness of speech. The expression plainness of speech in that scripture is means we have confidence. So we talk without even looking at our back. I will never be poor. I don't even have to think about whether the devil is at work or not. I will not be poor. Tell somebody, I shall not be poor. Say it aloud. Yeah, yeah. Tell somebody, I will prosper very highly. Say it. The way you are saying, if I was sitting here, I don't believe what you are saying. Tell the person, I will succeed to the highest extent. And tell somebody finally, this year, I will experience continuous divine victories in Christ Jesus. Oh, come on, put your hands together for the Lord. If I can't be confident, I have no business standing here. If I can't preach the word of God and declare we shall be blessed and lay hands on someone and say you shall not die but live, I have no business standing here. There may have been a bad experience somewhere yesterday, but the word does not change. It may even have not gone well in the pastor's own family, but the word is sure and the truth, and the word must be declared. You will not lack clothing. You will not lack a car to ride. Oh, you are not saying amen. Yeah. You will not lack peace in your life and peace in your family. You will not lack joy. In fact, you have abundance of it. You will not lack divine glory by the power of God. God will multiply our company and increase us beyond imagination. God will make us burst our seams and move in leaps and bounds. God will bless our bank account and bless our wombs. And bless our offspring, sir. When you see your pastor making confessions, it means he has prayed. Yeah. Yeah. It is the anointing of God that backs the thing. So you must seek the anointing of the one who will do it. God will protect us and continue protecting us. God will preserve us and continue preserving our lives and our family. Oh, let me hear somebody.
God will deliver us from sicknesses and diseases and trauma and pain and disappointment by the grace of God in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord will stand by us. In the morning he will be with us. At noontime he will be with us. In the evening he will be with us. Even in the dead of the night, the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not where I shall acquire, but he restored my soul. When I'm not happy and I'm depressed, he will restore my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen to the next line. Yea though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup ran over. My cup is running over. My cup is full and running over with the blessings of God. Your cup is full and running over with the grace of God. Goodness and mercy, not witches and wizards. Goodness and mercy, not bad luck. Can it be come? Goodness and mercy shall follow me, not just in 2021 or 2022 or 2023, but all the days of my life. No demon can follow me. They are on my wrong side by the power of God. No demon can lag behind me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me hear you shout amen. If I don't believe the word, then I'm in trouble. But you and I believe the word, and we believe that God will bless his people. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. We came to service last Wednesday and I saw someone at the back with the handkerchief on their hand. I said, today I will not miss mine. Yaba. My faith is in the word. But I also recognize elements that the Holy Ghost identifies with, and that he will work his own way. Lift up your voice. That thing that is disturbing you so much, raise your voice and command it overpowered. Whether it's a fire of Nebuchadnezzar that is threatening your life, whether it's a demon that keeps speaking that I will destroy an organ in your body, whether it's a voice that says you will never be restored, I say it's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. By the grace of God, he who has started with you will end up with you. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice, somebody. Don't wait till we lift up our voices in the microphone. Bind the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Deal with the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority and dominion over curses of the devil, and we break the curse. We destroy the yoke. I am a man who is a man.